Welcome to the Soul Work Podcast, a space where we dive into the journey of reconnecting with our body, our intuition, and our soul's true divine purpose. Each week, we will explore how to heal from within using body-centered wisdom, somatic and holistic healing practices, and engage in soulful healing and transformative conversations that will support you on your path to wholeness. In this podcast, we'll uncover ways to recognize the messages our bodies is sending us, transform old wounds, and step fully into our divine power. So whether you're here to break free from past patterns, build resilience, or simply deepen your soul's awareness, this space is dedicated to your growth, your healing, and your unique soul journey. So take a deep inhale and exhale. Settle in, grab your cup of tea, and let's do the soul work together. This is your Soul Work Podcast for your soul's work. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Soul Work Podcast. My name is Love Ashley Elaine, and I am here to be your guide as we flow through doing the soul work for our soul's work. This episode is the last episode of the series that I've been doing with my girl Keys. And man, we had a gushy, girly moment in the beginning, but it's just been so beautiful. I've been so blessed by it. I've been so transformed by it. The space has been beautiful to hold. This episode, we are talking about thriving in healthy love and relationships, what it looks like to have healthy communication, what it looks like to have healthy boundaries. And not just in romantic relationships, right? It's also Women's International Month. So we're also kind of talking about like girlhood, right? What does it look like to have healthy friendships? Just healthy people in your life and how it starts with us. It starts with us having healthy love for ourselves, healthy boundaries for ourselves, and it projects outwards. So you know the vibes. Prepare your hearts, prepare your minds, get your tea, maybe your journal, and settle in as we get into this episode.
This is the first time I've told my story, like in totality throughout this talk series. And even though I had healed from it, there was a part of me that was like, I'm not going back to that space. I'm not opening up those memories. And what I have learned is that sometimes you have to go back into those. Oh, gosh, I'm getting emotional. Sometimes you have to go back like into those parts of yourself just to remind yourself like how far you've come.
Yeah.
So I'm grateful. I'm super grateful for this space to be here and an opportunity to really share parts of me that a lot of people don't get to see.
I'm just grateful that you felt this space safe enough to be able to do that. Because I think a lot of people, when we come to like the podcast, you know, when it comes to the arts and really using our voice, using our platform, people want to tell their story. That's why people create their own platforms. But to be in partnership, I'm getting chills. To be in partnership, just because we're in partnership doesn't mean you trust me to hold space for your story.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that alone is like what I feel like is part of my mission and my purpose is to really hold space for people to be authentic in their storytelling.
and to
Yeah,
heal from it.
it's really beautiful, even when it comes to maintaining healthy relationships. And
Yeah.
because healthy relationship isn't just about love and intimacy. You know, this is an intimate space right here, you know, and we have a relationship between us doing this podcast talk series, you know, and showing up for one another, even the check-ins during the week, and making sure that we both feel safe, and you sharing your story on a larger platform, you know, and being open to and feeling safe to share your story with me, you know, and with my audience. And it's been a real intimate space, you know. So I always tell people, like, I am my first client. So when it comes to
Girl.
holding space for other people, I also have to remember, whether it's the coach or the healer, that the healer also needs that same space held. And we've been able to do that. So this has been beautiful, you know. And my intention when we started, and even now, is that the space that we have created within this talk series, it helps other people give themselves permission to tell their stories, you know, that way they can reclaim parts of them, or maybe they need to take a step back just to see how far they've come and where they are in the present and their hopes for the future and what they will desire for the future. Happy International Women's Day, girl.
Happy
Yes, the space
International
holders, the nurturers,
Women's
the healers,
Day. All of
everything
it.
that comes with being a woman, all parts of us throughout all of our different many stages throughout womanhood, you know, and the fact that we can celebrate this with each other and whole community with each other. It is really, sisterhood is so special.
So special,
It
so
is so
special.
special. So, and I pray that whoever hears this or whoever watches this, you know, that they know that there are safe spaces created just for them where they can unravel amongst community of other people who say, I get it. And even though my story may be different from yours, you know, I too have felt some of the same things that you have felt, or I've been in a similar space. And I can say, like, there is an other side. And even if we don't know what the other side is, I will hold your hand while we figure it out together. You know, I want more women, especially women of color, to have these type of spaces because they're important.
I was just thinking about that the other night. This is a tangent from what we're supposed to be talking about, but the Lord has led us here. But I was thinking about this the other night. I had made plans to go to a yoga class, and they were like, "You're on a wait list for three." And I said, "I'm not about to wait on no list. Like, you're third on the wait list." I said, "I'm not waiting because it's a 45-minute drive. I'm not, playing with that." And right after I canceled, one of my girlfriends texted me, and she was like, "Oh, my daughter starts her first day as a server at her new job, and I was trying to think about who would be so excited along with me to, for this moment for her. And I thought of you. Do you want to go to dinner? 444." And I was like, she started her new job. Oh my God. I was like, I would
Yay.
love to go to dinner. So I met her at her house. Like, we drove together, we caught up, like all the things. We sat, and her daughter was our server. It was beautiful. Went back to her house. We chat. Like, I had not been I've ne I have not been out the house past midnight in a very long time. And I came home, and I was just like, God, thank you. Like, it's been a very long time since I could say that I have a solid group of girlfriends where I don't have to worry about if they're talking about me, if we're like, whatever I'm feeling. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm trying to decode what I'm feeling, and now learning that it's, and I don't even like to say that it's jealousy, right? Because then I sometimes feel like that's me trying to put myself above, or on some type of like scale or something, but that's what it is. You know what I'm saying? Or like, things are being manipulated, and like, I've finally have landed in a place. Like, one of my girlfriends this morning, we went and worked out, and she was telling me a story, and she's like, "My sister is black." And I was like, "Girl, who we need to go talk to. But it was like she called me her sister. You know what I'm saying? It's like our like just I'm just so like to be going through so much and to finally have the girlfriends that I've been praying for, like that circle, and it just keeps expanding and expanding and expanding. And it just got like I just all, like everybody that I'm calling my sister or in my circle now, I just met 4 years ago, give or take like two or three people. So it's like never limit who you are and your interests, what you enjoy, what's peaking for you to experience and try, because that could be the very door that opens up your connection to people who will not misunderstand you, who will not judge you, who will hold space for you, whether it's long distance, nearby, whatever it is. Like, yeah.
Yeah, sisterhood on this good International Women's Day. Sisterhood has been such a theme
Yeah.
lately. I think you shared a post on Facebook that I saw, and one of my good girlfriends, she wrote a post the other day, and I'm grateful for her. She wrote a post the other day when, and she spoke about, and I'm paraphrasing, but she spoke about like losing childhood friends and how sad she was for losing childhood friends, and then where she's at and her womanhood now and the stage that she's at now, how grateful she is for her good girlfriends or her besties, whatever term you want to use for your sis, your people, your tribe, and she was talking about like giving those people like their flowers, and how grateful she just was that she can look back at some friendships and be grateful for the time they shared, but recognize that like when things end, it's okay. And to be grateful for the space and the groups that you do have around you right now. And she took the words right out of my mouth, and then like literally two posts down was you. And I said, okay, God, I see what you're doing. I see what you're doing, because when it comes to like healthy relationships, I think one of the first relationships that we learn, sometimes it's not with like a romantic partner, it is with your friends, and how there can still be some hurt or some grief, or there can even be narcissistic people within your friend groups, and then you end up attracting a partner like that. So to have a sacred group of friends, and it don't have to, it's when I thought about it, it's like, quality over quantity.
Yes, honey.
And it made me grateful for those people that I consider a part of my tribe. And I love that you and your friend celebrated her daughter getting her job. And I feel like more women, we need to be celebrated throughout all transitions of our womanhood. Like that first job to somebody else, I was like, oh, it's a first job. But to that young girl, it's important because it's a stage into womanhood where she's coming into her independence. And you guys were able to show up for her by coming there, leaving her a little tip, and just letting her know that, hey, I see you, I support you, and I'm here with you through this. And it is so, it's so crucial. It's so crucial in the stage of, in any stage of womanhood to have that support.
Yeah, it was a beautiful thing. Beautiful thing. Oh.
It is.
Whew. Hey,
Welcome to the last
guys.
episode, y'all. Welcome to the last episode. We are here. I'm your girl, Rakia Chantel. The people call me Keys.
And I am Love Ashley Lane.
And we are here to talk about thriving and healthy love and healthy relationship. It is also March 8th, so it is officially International Women's Day. And I want to say to all of the women who may be watching, listening, or however you come across this video, today we celebrate you, we love on you, we support you, and we want you to know that it is possible to thrive and that thriving is your birthright.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so we freestyling this episode. Freestyling. I don't know, Ash, you want to take us into some breath work first, just to ground us out a little bit. I can pull a card and
I'm gonna do some breath work and a meditation around. I was doing some cleaning and the Three of Wands card was hiding underneath all my stuff, and it was just a reminder of expansion. So just go ahead and find that comfortable seated posture. And once you get there, once you land in that space, take a nice big inhale. And as you exhale, allowing the gaze to come down your nose or completely closing your eyes. And in this space, there's only one thing I want you to give yourself permission to do, and that is to expand. Expand beyond what you have endured, expand beyond what you believe may happen, expand beyond your anxiety, expand beyond your depression, expand beyond the thoughts that unhealthy relationships have tried to implant in you. Expand into what love looks like, first to self and then outwardly. What does the expansion of your heart look like? What is the expansion of, as me and Key were just speaking about, your friend circle? But to expand, we have to relax. We have to be still. We have to be present. We have to release the tension. So, allowing every time you inhale, inhale that good girlfriend group. Excuse me. When you exhale any tension, any resistance, any fear. As you inhale the expansion of love. And as you exhale any hate. Any jealousy, any anger, any sadness that is holding you back from believing that you are worthy of love. Your next inhale, healthy relationships, a healthy romantic partner. And as you exhale the fear of not being worthy of one. Exhale the fear of running into the same one. Exhale the fear of not finding one, of not having one. Just keeping with the inhales and the exhales, allowing the body to soften, allowing the body to release, noticing where you might be clenching or gripping or holding on. Expansion happens in our most relaxed state. In the state of deep trust, deep faith, deep surrender. And we'll go ahead and bring the palms together, rubbing the hands together. Bring one to your belly, one to your heart space. We'll take a nice big inhale, filling the belly, filling everything expand, filling the belly expand, filling the heart space expand. And as you exhale, keeping the body nice and calm, one more time, nice big inhale, filling the belly, filling the heart space. Feeling everything expand. And exhale, nice and calm. Last one, filling the belly, filling the heart space, taking in all the air that you can. Maybe even bringing the breath past the crown of the head. And hold it for 4, 3, 2, 1. Keeping the body calm as you exhale. And when you're ready, slowly blinking open the eyes and coming back into your space.
Thank you so much for that. As we were coming out of it, there's a dog that started barking. It's a little dog that lives in the house next to me. And for those of you who may be into tarot or tarot, however you pronounce it, there's a dog on the Fool card. And the dog on the Fool card is one that symbolizes loyalty. And the Fool card, just drop some knowledge real quick. The Fool card is about new beginnings. It is about throwing caution to the wind, and it is about taking a risk. And that little dog is like barking at his feet, like, hey, and it is trying to get his attention because he's essentially getting ready to walk off of a cliff. But the thing about dogs and like being companions is almost like a spirit guide that can be encouraging you to take a risk. So there's something out there for the listeners, the viewers out there, and just ask yourself, you know, where are you being called to take a risk, whether it's on love or whether you're taking a risk on yourself, whether you're taking a risk on something that is important to you, and you may not know what's on the other side of that. But you'll only find out if you step into that Three of Wands energy and if you are willing to leave one place to enter into a new and into the what's called the unknown, to experience something new. So I hope that whoever is listening and watching, that you allow yourself to receive something new. We're going to go ahead and pull a card. Spirit, what messages do you have for our listeners? I am using the Psychic Tarot of the Heart deck. Spirit, what message do you have for our listeners today? This is beautiful. Blossom. Spirit always speaks. This Blossom card is coming out here, and it feels like it's right, it's aligned with the springtime and coming out of the cold, entering something new, that new beginning. And it does feel like those of you who have been planting new seeds, whether maybe you're taking better care of yourself these days, maybe you are buying yourself some flowers, maybe you are eating better, working out, really pouring that love back into you. It feels like the seeds that you have planted within yourself are bringing your manifestations closer, because now you have entered into that state of receiving. And you've been able to give it to yourself first. Now, this Blossom card is what's considered like a judgment call. I mean, a judgment card. And the judgment card in tarot, it just symbolizes an awakening that's happening. So there's something that is beginning to blossom within you, whether it's something new, you going after something. But look at this big ball of energy within her hand. She is harnessing her power. Somebody could be going through an extreme like hair growth, or you're just watching things around you transform. I'm picking up with this card. I hold out this yellow energy. That's that solar plex chakra, which is located, you know, in your abdomen. And it's the chakra of confidence. It's the chakra of willpower, determination. And essentially, they say it's located like near your gut, and your gut is where your intuition is at. So for somebody, you have some seeds that you've been planting, and spirit is just calling for you to continue nourishing them, continue nourishing yourself because they're preparing to blossom, and things start to germinate underground before they can blossom above. So give yourself the space that you need to continue emerging. I feel like it's an emergence that is happening. And I love that. Okay. Because if you, on the bottom of the deck, we have the Hermit card and seek. Maybe some solitude is needed. Maybe you're coming out of a period of solitude. Maybe somebody's getting ready to start dating again. Okay. We're talking about healthy relationships and what it means to thrive. Okay. And for whoever needs to hear this, like, celebrate your growth. And how far you have come within your journey, how many milestones you've been able to overcome, the obstacles you've been able to overcome, and fully sit with that. Because when it comes to a new relationship, you're opening yourself up to experience something new. It's going to be a new experience, and it is, let's say, a healthy relationship is fruitful, it's nourishing, it feels like soul food, you know. Thinking about my own relationship, y'all got me giddy a little bit because it's like, it is so wholesome, you know, it is fulfilling, it stretches you, but it ultimately it helps you evolve more into the person that you desire to become. And it doesn't mean that it don't come with some things. So let's jump into it. When it comes to what it means to thrive in a healthy love and a healthy relationship, and outside of like celebrating your growth, you know. Yeah, when it comes to like personal boundaries, you know, when it comes to exploring a new relationship, yes, you're open to other people, but you still have to hold on to some sense of self there, you know. It's like, what does that look like? What does it look like to build boundaries in a healthy relationship? And one thing that I have learned, and speaking from a personal perspective, in order to do that, it requires healthy communication. Let's talk about it, you know? And maybe some people may have struggled with this, or maybe you struggle with, you know, saying no, or maybe you didn't have those relationships around you that offered you the safe space. And within a healthy relationship, it offers you that safety to communicate your needs because your needs are important, their needs are important, but like what, let's really break it down. So building healthy boundaries in a relationship requires you to communicate your needs and your limits with your partner. And that also means that you have to be open to the boundaries that they set as well. You know, so let's see. I think there are different levels when it comes to building boundaries in a healthy relationship. I think we touched on it last episode in regards to like personal space, you know, and recognizing what that looks like and how to communicate that with your partner. But also, sorry, y'all, thought my laptop froze, but also, exploring what that looks like for you. So there's different levels to when it comes to building boundaries. Sometimes it may be in personal space, but what about when it comes to intimacy, you know, and what we can do, what we won't do, you know, if you're family planning and how to have that conversation, you know, with your partner. I think tone is an aspect that a lot of people may overlook sometimes, your tone of voice within the conversation, you know, because ultimately you want your partner to be able to not only hear you but respect what you're saying. But if it's coming through like in an abrasive tone, it may be a little bit difficult for them to sit with because now they're hearing your tone of voice, but they aren't that isn't translating for the message, you know. Tone of voice is big when it comes to healthy communication with a partner. Being respectful, you know, and not putting somebody else down when you are trying to communicate your needs. Let's say you're having a hard day and what you need is like some personal space, but versus, you know, pushing them away, just being able to communicate. I call it throwing a little honey on your tongue, making it a little bit sweet. Like, you know, I just need some time to decompress. I'm gonna take my space over here. I'll be back. Or let's say you're having a difficult conversation and you need some time to process what's being said, you know, asking to, hey, let's Can we resume this conversation later, or do you mind if we pick this conversation back up later just to give me some time to myself to, process my feelings or process my thoughts? That is a healthy boundary that can be put where you don't feel pressured to respond right there in the moment if you're like feeling overwhelmed. So you want to be able to identify your needs within the relationship to communicate that. And ultimately, what you're doing is you're fostering a mutual respect and emotional well-being for the both of you. We as women, sometimes we have a hard time saying no.
Preach.
Not what I want to do. Or, hey, I don't like this. Even if it comes down to talking about sex. And what feels good to you versus, allowing your partner to do something just for the pleasure of them. And I think we as women, we can, this is a big one that you can possibly struggle with, especially coming out of a traumatic relationship, where maybe you have put your knees down to the side where it was about, pleasure for the other person. Or maybe you did some things that, you didn't really enjoy, but that you allow because you love this person, and you want to please them. You want them to be satisfied as well. When you're in a healthy relationship, it's important to put that boundary into place, whatever your boundaries look like when it comes to your body, and being okay and being okay with drawing those boundaries. And you'll know if somebody is for you if those boundaries, especially when it comes to your body, aren't respected. But being able to say, hey, well, I don't really like it when this happens, whatever the act is, or I'm a little uncomfortable when you touch me here, and then try offering some tips. Well, this is what I like. That way they can take time to learn you. A healthy relationship, you want your partner to not only like respect what you say, respect, the things that what am I trying to say? You want your partner to respect everything about you, but you also want to essentially like have them get to know you. And I believe that you have to teach people, whether it's how to love you, what you like and what you don't like, because nobody out here is a mind reader. So it's going to take for people to feel safe within themselves to access their voice in order to speak about what they like or what they don't like. So communicating and being able to say, hey, I don't like that, or hey, I need some time to myself. Financial boundaries.
There we go.
Financial boundaries within a healthy relationship can look like you guys actually sitting down and having an open and honest conversation about your finances. What does that look like? How are we going to divvy things up, especially if you are cohabitating and living together? Some people out here, some people marry for money or whatever their situations are, but it can get really sticky when money is involved or when you're trying to divvy up where finances go or who's going to take care of what. And that's one of the conversations that I had at the beginning, building my new relationship, on what does that look like, even like financial goals that we have individually and as a couple. Because it's important to maintain your individuality while you're still in a relationship. And I think a lot of women, when we're newly in it and it's that honeymoon phase and we're just all lovey-dovey and we all over each other, and then you realize that some of the things that you may have wanted for yourself got put on essentially the back burner or delayed because you were so focused on just the partnership, and it may have caused you to forget the things that you actually wanted for yourself. So another boundary within a healthy relationship is reminding your partner that yes, we're together, but I'm still an individual. I'm still me within this, and you're still you. And it's okay for me to have like my own hobbies or my own group of friends, or to nourish other relationships outside of this one. And it's not going to take away from me pouring into this, but you nourishing yourself in other ways essentially is still maintaining that self-care and that self-love within a relationship.
Yeah, I think it's a red flag if they get upset that you're out with friends, or if there's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, codependency is a very real thing, and sometimes we like, oh, we want to do everything with our partner, and when there's those moments where you want to just not do anything with anybody, or you want to do stuff with your friends, you want to do stuff with your family, maybe by yourself and separate, pay attention to what comes up with that. I know Key and I both have talked about like examples in our past where that has been an issue, right? So moving into dating again, right? Test the waters. Even if you're not going out with your friends, be like, oh yeah, you know what? I have plans tonight with my girlfriends. Even if you're just sitting home, just test the waters and see, right? Not that I'm not saying lie, right? Because we don't want to start that. But you want to know that this person values who you are as an individual, right? Like Key, you just mentioned remembering that. Like, I still have my own goals. I still have my own dreams, right? I always believed in the purpose of marriage. I feel like marriage is very purposeful, and there's a whole nother level of spiritual protection and purpose that comes with marriage. And individually, we still have what we're here to do. We still have our assignments, right? So your partner should also be the partner that's not going to allow you to abandon your soul's truth, your soul's purpose, your soul's journey, your passions, your desires. Like I want my partner to be like, babe, I ain't seen you paint in a while. Even if it's just something I just like to do, you know what I'm saying? Just because I ain't out here painting Picasso stuff. But like, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, babe, I haven't seen you paint for a while. I went and bought you some new paint stuff. Or why don't you know, I'll take the kids. Why don't you stay home and paint? Or is something up? How come you haven't painted in a while? Just, and that sounds pretty, right? But you want somebody that's not going to allow you to abandon yourself either.
And it's almost like they'll encourage you to take those space to yourself, especially if it comes like a night out with the girls or something like that. And if you when actually said testing the waters, plan it and watch the reaction that a potential partner may have. Do they find a reason to keep you home? Is there an argument that may be started, or do they will or do they respectfully encourage you to go out and enjoy yourself? And it's like, okay, do you? I'll see you when you get home, yes. Test the waters, y'all. Test before you get into anything, because there's a level of safety. There's also a level of compassion that you want to have within a healthy relationship, and you also want to be clear about what it is that you need. I feel like bound when it comes to boundaries and it comes to thriving, a healthy relationship is boundaries are a big part of it, but also maintaining consent. Just because you're with somebody doesn't mean that you give consent, especially with those who have been affected by like sexual trauma or who have like PTSD or any other thing that may be going on that may affect you either physically or emotionally. You want to be able to communicate with somebody in a calm and a firm and a clear way about what it is that you either like or you don't like. And then there also has to be like consequences, even within a healthy relationship, or and you can state those, like I don't like this and this is what happens if this boundary is crossed. And there's a way that you can communicate that effectively without being without coming across like a tyrant, without being like too hasty in your tone, and doesn't have to be like a slash or a dart. And if it's warranted, then hey, but there's a way that there's a way that you can effectively communicate when a boundary has been crossed and the consequence behind that. Because I'm trying to think about like where I'm gonna have to join a boundary, or a boundary has been crossed, or what has happened within my relationship. One thing that was important for me was to maintain my level of independence. And just because I'm with somebody doesn't mean that it takes me away from being Rakia. So there are days, or some days, or I plan it where I'll put it on a calendar and I'll have a day where it's like for me, or I'll go get my nails done, get my toes done. And it helps me to remember myself even within my relationship, you know? And I think conflict resolution is a big thing as well, because when you're in a healthy relationship, it doesn't mean that it's not going to be triggering for you or that other person. And just as you have boundaries, you have to be able to listen and respect the boundaries that they may have as well, you know, or hearing them out with an open mind and an open heart, and then recognizing that, you know, we're all human beings and that nobody is perfect. But how can we sit down if there's a conflict? You know, how can we sit down and come to a resolution without bringing too much anger in there, or where somebody will trigger another person, you know, in a hurtful manner, or using hurtful words? And in building a healthy partnership, in my opinion, is learning your partner's love language. Learning them, because I don't believe that once you're in a healthy relationship, that you guys are going to stay the same. You're going to continue evolving. They're going to continue evolving. And it's like, okay, we're both evolving individually, but how can we continue to evolve together? And it's like, you're going to keep relearning that person over and over and over again, because if they're staying the same, then you know you have a problem.
Yes.
Want to see them grow. They want to see you grow as well. And before I could learn anybody else's love language, I had to learn my own and how I give and how I receive love, because that looks differently for every person. You know, and
Absolutely.
having a conversation before it gets any further, before you guys become exclusive or it gets too committed, you know, it is important to ask these questions. That way you can get a good understanding of how somebody else receives love, and then you can make a choice on if that may work for you, or how it feels within your body. Do you feel safe, or, you know, is it unrealistic what they're asking for? Asking those questions up front helps you maintain agency over yourself. It helps you to advocate for yourself. And essentially, it reminds you that you always have a choice.
Always have a choice.
Yeah, I feel like people in partnerships feel like they don't have a choice, especially when it comes to like those who are married. Like choices can sometimes be taken away because of the marriage. And it's like, for me, that's not true. I'm still a human being, you know.
It's like this thing where we always like to be on the same page means to like completely deny what you believe, what you think, how you feel to please the other person. I keep like even now with the climate that we're in with our current administration, I'm hearing a lot of stories about women who voted a certain way to keep the peace in their home but didn't want to vote that way, right? So it's like you just completely allowed yourself to deny what you believe to be true, what you felt like was needed for you, for your house, actually, right? For the betterment of your community, your land, your state. Like it this moved world, you know, nationwide. So it's like when we start believing that the only way to keep peace is by being quiet and denying what we believe is going to make that person happy. Sit with that. Sit with that because there is such thing as healthy conflict, right? Not all conflict is meant for us to be against each other, right? To always be at odds with each other. There is such thing as healthy conflict that allows us to learn one another on a deeper level or understand one another in a different space that we may have not understood before, or Like Keith said, we're constantly evolving, we're constantly growing if you're allowing yourself to. So there's going to be those spaces where conflict might come because you're starting to see, oh, I don't think the same way that I used to. I don't see certain things the way that I used to. And your partner might still see things the way that they have been since you've met them, or since you've known them, or since you've been in relationship with them. So that's opportunity for you to be able to say, I don't believe that anymore. And that's okay, right? It's okay for you to still believe what you believe. It's also okay for me to have more information about what I once thought and be able to change my mind and change my heart about a thing. That's part of growth, right?
And maintaining your own identity.
Right. Because all of that is how can I continue to become or come back home to myself? And that's always going to take learning something new or keeping your heart open to hearing something again that you may have heard before and was just like, oh no, that's not it, that's not true. And then you hear it again, you're like, wait a minute, that resonates different, that feels different, right? Some things that I've been personally working on in just like my friendships and my relationships with my family is, because let me tell you, I used to be the person where I didn't want to talk to you anymore. I'm hanging up. I didn't care whatever you had to say. I did not care anymore. I'm hanging up the phone. And if you call me back, you call me back. If you call me back, I'm not answering the phone. But just know I'm not calling you
He said,
back.
I'm done with the conversation. That's it.
Done. Completely done, right? Evolution is upon us, guys. But even to admit that, right? It's hard because nobody wants to be like, oh yeah, no, I don't care what you have to say, right? So one thing that I've been actively working on is clarifying what I heard and how I interpret it, right? Because we do have a way of hearing things from our heart, but not understanding what's been sitting in our heart, right? So you can just be in a space where you have not been ready to grieve, you have not been ready to release anger, you've not been ready to, like, you're still holding on to grudges, all of these things that are tearing your heart space up. And every time someone tells you something, you're hearing it from that place. And it's like, well, no, that's not how I like. And that's not how I was delivering it. That's not what my intention was. That's not what I'm saying, right? And so I've allowed myself to move into a space where when someone says something to me, I now pause. And I'm like, okay, what part of me is hearing this? And am I hearing it correctly? And then I'll say, okay, just to clarify, this is what I heard. And they can say yes, whatever, or no, and give, whatever more.
It opens up the for dialogue.
Right. Because again, right, and I'm thinking about like the throat chakra, which is connected to the heart, and also like you speak what's on your heart and you hear from that place too. So if we're not aware of what's sitting in our heart, like what emotions we haven't worked through, what feelings we haven't worked through, and even thoughts, right? Like what thought space are we constantly in? What's rooted in that space, right? So if I'm always thinking that all of my romantic relationships are always going to be with narcissists, guess what I'm going to get? I'm going to keep getting the narcissist, right? If I believe that my next relationship is going to be physically abusive, I'm going to get that, right? Or I'm just going to distance myself and be angry forever, right? Whereas now, getting ready to like catapult back into dating, now the way I ask questions are going to be different than I may have asked them in the past, right? It's going to I'm going to like my heart is more clean to where now I can be like, okay, we're not sitting in this space anymore, but we remember. what that space was like. So now we can ask questions from the space that we remember because we don't want to feel that again.
Yeah.
Right? Another thing is I statements. Ooh! Some people don't understand I statements, and I hate that I laugh at it, and I wish this was taught in grade school, in high school. I just wish it's taught in the school setting because I statements are the most powerful statements ever.
Yes,
And if someone does not understand the healing power of I statements and the ownership that it gives you and the responsibility that it takes off of the other person of being in control of how they're making you feel,
yeah.
they're going to miss it completely and think you're being the most selfish person on earth. I wrote a letter. When I went to Peru, the night before it was our last day, I could not sleep. I got up and I started journaling and it turned into a letter. And what
Wow.
I, yeah, it, girl, and it was like five, six pages too. I was like, okay, I'm done. And then like fell asleep with no problem. But I remember writing in this letter, I feel X, Y, and Z. I would like to see X, Y, and Z. I remember when X, Y, and Z. And it wasn't, and the intention wasn't to like bash this person or, you know, make them feel small or or even make it about me, right? What I statements do is allow us to only take responsibility for us. I statements give us the opportunity to say, this is how I feel. This is where it may be coming from, right? It takes the blame off the other person.
Yeah.
Because
It's
if we're
almost like a mirror.
constantly, yeah, literally, right? Because if we're constantly saying you did this and you did that and you didn't do this and you didn't do that and you're the reason why this, that, and the third, they're not going to heal that for you.
No.
Unfortunately,
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people I feel like people get stuck there with thinking that just because it's healthy that it won't be triggered. And I think we spoke about this on the last episode as well. But even in any type of healthy relationship, your partner, one, they can't be everything for you.
they can't.
You know, that's just being unrealistic. And sometimes we can project those things onto them, expecting them to be our healers. And no, you don't have to be like fully healed, you know, to be in healthy partnership, but you do have to be able to, I call it, look at your own mess,
Yeah.
you know, and recognize what's yours and what's a projection, you know, because a healthy relationship will, it'll still trigger some of those shadows, some of those scars, and it will bring up some of that emotional debris that you may be still holding on to. But the thing about it is that it will create safe space in order for you to like nourish those wounds, or it'll create
Yeah.
space for you to, for open dialogue to happen. That way they can best, they That way they can best try to understand like where you're coming from, you know? And I feel like we get lost there with thinking like, oh, my friend is they're my therapist, they're my confidant, they're my best friend. And it's like sometimes we place too much on other people. And it brings us back to those I statements where we're able to gain ownership over what we feel and essentially be able to say, you know what, this is my stuff. You know, let me sit with my stuff. Or hey, let me take some time away, you know, that way I can come back to this conversation, you know, a bit more level-headed. That way I can truly explain to you maybe something was said and maybe you heard it with that those emotional ears, or though I call them those trauma ears, where it brought us to a place back in the past. And one thing that I had to really learn, and I had to teach myself, is that that isn't this. And how sometimes, even like subconsciously, we can bring some of our fears into something and into a new space, you know. And what a healthy partnership is going to do is it allows you to have those, allows you to have those fears, but it also demantles them. But you have to be able, that help, that effective communication, you also have to be able to say, like, you know what? I'm still processing through some things. And I think that that is okay. That shows that you're still evolving, you're still growing, and you're still able to hold that mirror up to yourself and say, you know what? I still have some things that I need to work on as I'm trying to get to know this other person, or let this other person love me, or give this other person the love that I want to share with them. You know, any type of healthy partnership should feel like freedom and not restriction.
Yeah, and I'm thinking about how as you were talking, I'm thinking about how like they say like our relationships are mirrors of ourselves, right? So the power of like even just I statements is it brings you back into authority of self. It brings you back into control. It brings you back into where the power really lays, right? Because we're still talking about narcissistic abuse. It there's a power and control dynamic that is happening. And if we're con I mean, there's like they thrive off of knowing that you blame them. They thrive off of knowing that you see them as the reason why you're in pain. So the only way to combat that is that mirror, right? It's like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, really crazy. What I'm like the vision that I'm seeing in my head is like you th like they're the mirror, right? And if you could for a split second not see them but see you, the power and control that they're trying to take over you, grab that back and step into that power and take control over what you know you can control. That's where you beat the enemy. That's where you overcome. That's where you come back into your power, your authority, your love, your joy, your happiness, right? Your strength, your ability, and be able to say, you know what? It's not a them thing, it's a me thing. My last relationship, I remember I just kept praying and praying. I was like, God, you got to change it. God, I need you to change it. God, I need you to fix him. God, I need you to fix it. God, I need you to do this. God, I need you to do that. And every single time, I love sharing this, every single time, the mirror was coming back on me. Every single time I could feel it. It was almost like somebody like spirit stood in front of me and was like, okay, here you go. And I was like, no, it's not me. Like he's doing this and he's doing that and he's doing this and he's doing that. And the mirror would come right back on me. It's like, yes, this is what he's doing because he doesn't know any different. He hasn't learned any different. And whether he chooses to learn different and want to do different, that's not on you. You have the authority to do different. You have the authority to make a move, right? We're here to help you make this move. But when you're ready, it will align.
And
And the
that's the
minute,
change.
and that's the change,
That's
right?
the change.
That's the change. It's and it just comes, right? So when we start, the way we communicate is going to speak a lot about where we are and how we want things to change.
As you were speaking, it made me think about the song "Man in the Mirror" by Michael Jackson. And he was like, "You want to make the world a better place? Take a look at yourself and make the change, and to be the change that you want to see." I also had this thought that you have to be able to handle, I'll call it positive, but essentially healthy criticism, because we're not all. We're I don't think anybody we all have some suitcases. You know, we all bring some things into our relationship that we may be carrying and that may be exposed, you know, within these relationships. And you have to be willing to hear healthy criticism back, or ways that you possibly can change. You know, having somebody say, "Hey, like, I noticed that this happened," or you the way that you responded, and having that mirror held up to you, and essentially, like you said, taking that leadership and that authority over yourself to say, you know what, the change starts within me, and being open to that. I really do think the key to thriving in any healthy relationship is being able to know yourself. Know yourself. Know, you know, what makes you tick. Know what hurts. Know what wounds you may still be carrying. Know what you're still healing through. Knowing what your own love languages are. Knowing how you communicate, how you receive love. The key to thriving is one, knowing yourself and being able to share yourself. And I think we spoke about vulnerability in a past episode, being able to open yourself up to say, hey, this is me. And one of the things that I love about my husband when we first met, and as we were instilling that sweet phase of getting to know each other, it's almost like we laid the cards out on the table. And he essentially like, this is me. This is who I am. This is what, these are the some things that, you know, I come with. And essentially gives you that space to make a choice on you can continue to do this, or you have a choice to say, you know what, I don't really think this is, you know, for me with where I'm at in my life. Owning that agency over self, you know, and being able to say, like, yes, I'm willing to go into something, and just being able to share who you are, being vulnerable in that space with somebody else. I really do think that is a key level to being able to thrive in any relationship, you know, and not being afraid to know that you aren't perfect and where you still have some work to do.
'Cause we all a work in progress.
All we all are work in progress. I don't think there is any level of perfection. I don't think that there is a such thing as a perfect relationship, you know. So if you're getting into a new relationship or you're opening yourself up into dating, especially coming out of a place of trauma, and for women, you know, we hold trauma in our bodies, making sure that our trauma isn't dictating our future. I think the quote that I shared last episode was like, healing doesn't mean you won't be scared. It means you won't let fear lead, you know? And sometimes when you're coming out of, you know, those traumatic relationships, it is scary to start dating again. It is scary to get into something else committed. It is scary to, you know, sometimes just to dream that there's something different other than what you know. And stepping into that unknown space. And I think you mentioned the Three of Wands at the beginning of this episode. The Three of Wands essentially is, it's fire energy, so it's action, but it's also taking the lead, you know, and saying like, okay, I've been through some things, but I deserve this. I'm going to give myself permission to receive this. I give myself permission to be happy. I give myself permission to put down my bags. That all the songs are coming to me. I just thought about bag lady, you gonna miss your bus carrying all this stuff. You know? So you want to thrive, you have to be able to enter into those spaces where it's like, you know what? I give myself permission to put those things down and to experience to create essentially a new reality for myself.
And this takes us into like self-care practices. If you recall, in any time I'm doing like a meditation and we're, you know, in breath work, I really emphasize the calming of the body when we do that exhale, right? Because your body holds so much, right? You want to keep your nervous system in a space to where it's starting to relearn how to receive, how to dream again, how to feel good again, right? How to remember, how to do all these things again in a new way. So when we talk about self-care, we're talking about what are the practices that are going to allow you to keep autonomy over future version of you, right? What does that look like to find that calm, find that release, be able to put those bags down, right? What is the practice that allows you to leave them at the front door? It's such a powerful thing, and I never understood it until I like was in Cambodia, leaving your shoes outside,
I actually do that in my
right?
house. I don't wear shoes in my house.
Like, I have a pair of slippers that I wear outside, and I have a pair of slippers only for the house. Like, they don't go nowhere else, right? But once I was there, I was like, I get it. I get it. Like, it's very energetic. It's very like, I mean, just give or take, like the way they run systematically, right? With like the trash and the mud and then the flooding and then their
Everywhere.
water system and all of that. But it also makes sense in terms of what is it that you want to keep bringing with you? What is the practice in cleansing yourself from whatever is trying to stay attached to you, whatever is trying to keep you down, right? It could be as simple as going to the gym.
Yes, physical movement, even dance. Just moving your body. Something that really helps me was I started taking daily walks. Daily walks. And sometimes I would do it by myself. Sometimes my husband would come, but taking before I got back into my fitness routine of needing fresh air. Sometimes it's something as simple as going outside and walk around the block, or walk to the mailbox, or just being able to. When I had like a bigger porch, I also would like sit outside, or I'd have my tea outside, and that's where I would do like my morning affirmations. And I'd sit outside and I'd really listen to the birds and to what was happening in my environment. It was a way for me to stay present, within my body. Another self-care practice for any woman was called, I think it's called somatic tapping, where you are tapping. I learned it. And it's been stuck. It's been up and it's stuck ever since.
It's
As a way
amazing.
to keep me present and to keep me aware if I'm experiencing something that's a little overwhelming for me. And it's like, hey, we're here, tapping all over my body to see like where I can find like the tension in my body. Some of the self-care practices I've had, they vary day to day depending on what I'm feeling and what I'm doing. The tapping has worked, going for a walk, something as simple as having a good cup of tea.
Yes, just
You
sitting
ever
there
just
with your
wait?
cup of
It's a part
tea.
of my morning routine that I have to have a cup of tea. I need something warm. And that first sip is it's like heaven. Where everything is calm, things are just still. And in that moment, I'm fully present where I can say, I'm really grateful. This is a really good cup of tea. And I'm grateful for the warmth that I can feel from it. It almost makes you feel like it's a hug in the sense, Your self-care practices don't have to be too extravagant. They can. I love the shop. I mean, we still a girl. I'm just a girl at the end of the day. I love to shop. I love to get my nails done and I love to beautify my outer vessel. But sometimes the self-care practices have to nurture your internal.
Sometimes your routine is your self-care practice, right? Like, when I get out of bed, sometimes I have my coffee pot set up, and then there's moments where it's like I want to go through the process, right? Because the house is quiet, there's nobody's TV is on, there's no noise in the morning, right? Sometimes your routine is the self-care practice because it makes you become present. I highly recommend this book. It made me mad when I first started reading it, and then as I continued to read it, I was like, oh, okay. All right, I'm here. The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. There's a piece in there where he talks about, people are always asking God to be present, right? They're asking for the Holy Spirit to come into the place, right? To come into their space and to be present and to all of this, and I can't find God, and where is God, and where all these things. And he says, sometimes we can't find God because we won't be still. Right? Yes, we have, some people read the Bible, some people read the Quran, some people read other sacred texts, the Bhagavad Gita, some people pull cards. Some people, they have their tools. But sometimes God is like, I just want you. And you will not be still so that I can meet you. And that is probably the greatest form of self-care, stillness.
I think that's overlooked. We think we need all of the external things, and sometimes it's just being able to sit still, to be, you know. And I find like in that stillness, that's where you hear a lot, that's where a lot of clarity comes in.
So much clarity. I mean, there was there like last night I was so tired. I turned the TV on and didn't turn nothing on.
I've done that before. I've done
And
that
got
before.
in
It's
the
interesting how the mind works. I've done that before. Where I've cut it on, or like I'll have the TV on, but it's on mute. And it's on. I'm not really, I may or may not be looking at it. It's on, but it's almost like it's running in the background. Almost like it's like, even if it's, I can't hear anything. And do, my electric bill told me stop doing that. But creating that space just to be, and how powerful that can be. You know, there's a bunch of tools and practices that you can do, and sometimes it just requires you to just sit still.
Just be still. Rest.
Yeah, I used to struggle when it comes to rest.
The greatest spiritual practice on earth.
Yeah.
Greatest spiritual practice on earth. Like, I bought the book, but I didn't get to read it yet. But I saw her in person. I can't remember her name, who wrote Rest is Resistance. And she talks about how rest is a spiritual practice. Like, her whole platform is about rest. Like, she'll post something that says, "Don't talk to me, go lay down." Literally. And I'm just like, repost, because I'm tired. Right. But it's like rest is
Yay.
resistance to the systems, right? To your nerve, like to trauma, to abuse, to all these things. If people can get you to not rest, they can get you to not dream. They can get you to not be tapped into your spirit. They can get you to not be tapped into your purpose. They can get you to not be tapped into who you were divinely guided to be. They can get you caught up in whatever system they need you to be caught up in, whether it's corporate, whether it's the systemic racism, whether it's the narcissistic abuse, whether it's the emotional abuse, whether it's whatever it is. Rest. Even if it's like for 30 minutes. I came in one day and just there was clean laundry on my bed. I said, we just gonna nap together. I fell asleep for like 30 minutes and I woke up and was able to write out something that I didn't even know I needed to write out. You know what I'm saying? Like the clarity that comes from just even 30 minutes of rest. Allow yourself that space to rest.
And then there's some self-care practices, for those who are entering into new relationships that maybe you can cultivate with your partner. You know, so don't be afraid to explore what that looks like and have the things that you need for yourself and hold on to those things. But also allow yourself to build something new when you're entering into a partnership, you know, or even if you're dating and you realize that, you know, it's going to a space where you want to take things further and maybe you can incorporate some of those things together or that place of stillness. I think there's power if you're able to sit with somebody in silence. Where presence, you know, you can feel their presence, you can appreciate their presence, you know, but words, you know, that the voice doesn't have to be used, words doesn't have to be said in order for you to feel them. I've actually helped some couples do this when they were having some conflict and weren't able to, you know, just find a healthy level of communication, where I had them sit together and I'll put them back to back. And their backs are touching, but they're both facing opposite directions. And what I realized that practice did was it helped them speak in a lot a calmer tone. You know, they were able to feel the weight and the heat of each other's body. So it was still that level of it communicated to both of them, like, hey, I'm still here with you. You know, and it gave one another a chance to both speak their piece, but that back to back, it was something so powerful about them still touching, even though they were facing different directions. And it communicated to them that even though sometimes our words may get, you know, crossed over, that we're still here in this together. And then I had them just be quiet. And the emotions that tend to come up when the room is silent. When they talk about being still, this is also a practice that you can do, with a partner. And I want to challenge some people. If you feel that it's difficult to sit with yourself or even to sit with your partner, somebody that you may be dating, whatever the case may be, if you find it difficult or feel like you always need to be doing something or some type of noise, really challenge yourself and start asking yourself questions like, why do I have a hard time sitting with myself? Maybe journaling some thoughts or some feelings that come up to the surface when you are by yourself. That way you can explore that deeper and get to know yourself a little bit deeper.
Yeah. There's another that made me think of another practice, partner practice. I've done before it like trainings and stuff. Eye gazing. Girl, I've cried many a times. It's like, oh my God, you're looking at me in my eyes and we can't say
You feel
nothing.
vulnerable. Like, oh my
Yes.
God, I make it.
Yes. And one person, God, I love her dearly. She's now like kind of like a mentor for me. She was my partner when we did it, and I just started crying. And she was like, I see you. She was like, you can't. She was like, I see you. And that person that I see is beautiful. And I was just like, oh my God, stop. But that's another good practice to do with your partner too, right? Like there's no, I mean, she broke the rules and spoke, but there's no talking. It's just literally eye gazing for like 2 solid minutes.
Yeah, that's
And that
beautiful.
is powerful, powerful. Yeah.
It
But
is.
I agree. The more silence that you can incorporate in a healthy way, the more communication you'll start to see.
Thriving, I don't think it takes much. It just takes you to be open, building trust, healthy boundaries, honesty, intimacy, communication, being able to sit with one another. But I encourage women to, if that's what you seek, to hold on to it. And if a healthy partnership, a healthy relationship, a health, if you desire marriage, all the things that your heart desires, if that is what you truly want for yourself and see for yourself, to not allow your past to dictate your future. Because you're worthy of it, you're deserving of it, and there is somebody out there who will be equally yoked for you, who will love you and the scars. Because your wounds may be closed, but sometimes those scars are still ever present. Your scars are a part of your story. And they'll not only love you, but love your story because it brought you to them. So hold on, girls.
Hold
Hold on
on.
to it.
Hold on.
Embrace that love. Go out
Yeah.
there and get it.
All of it. I posted something today. It said, my future husband is blessed, honey.
Yes, speak it into existence, y'all. I spoke my husband into existence, literally down to his physical features. I
I
spoke
love that.
everything I wanted. I wrote it out. I spoke it into existence. I would speak when I was single as if I was already a wife, and I would speak to my husband, "Can you get this out the cabinet, please?" Even if it was myself climbing on the cabinet to go get the thing, because I knew that it was coming in for me, and I held on to that belief. And I fully believe that you don't have to be fully healed to be loved. You're worthy of love as you are right now.
As you are right now. I hope that this series with Key and I has been healing, that it's been fruitful, that it's been eye-opening, that it's been awakening, that it's been divinely timed, and that you have been able to really reignite what it is that you want for yourself. Right. I've shared it before, and I think it's now just my life scripture, John 10:10, right? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. You are worthy of that abundant life. We can't allow what has happened to us to dictate, like he said, our future and rob us of that love, of that healthy relationship, of that healthy sisterhood, of that healthy motherhood of everything that is of the fruits of the spirit.
Yeah. Healthy
Right.
relationship with self.
Yet of self, yes. The way we speak to ourselves, the way we take
Yeah.
care of ourselves, the way we treat ourselves, the way we allow ourselves to investigate our emotions, our feels, the breath work, all of the things that we allow ourselves to dive into, to learn, to be curious about, right? A lot of the things that I now do that I got curious about them to heal me. I became curious about yoga, and now I hold space for other women in that realm, right? I got curious about certain things because something in me, 555, something in me was just like, ooh, I wonder what that is, right? Transformational breath work. It's healing to be
Yeah.
present with your breath, the very thing that gives you life, that allows you to articulate words, right? So be curious about you.
Yeah.
Be curious about you. This was so much fun.
It was. This was so much fun. There's a
Yeah.
scripture that I have been walking with even before I got married, and that was Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, saith the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a future. And that is something that I held on. I held on and I held it close because it was my reminder that I know what I have for you. It reminded me of a divine plan,
Yeah.
and how things may not have happened according to when I wanted them to, but there's still a divine plan into place. And if God has these things that are already promised to me, then all I have to do is continue to walk the path.
That's it.
That's it. Like I said,
That's
be
it.
curious. Allow yourself to learn more of yourself. Allow yourself to explore. And be open to receiving love, knowing that you are worthy and that you are deserving for it, and that true love will never return to you void.
Never, never. Huh, I love you all so much and for free. Yeah, we will. I can't even say see you next
I
I'm
Follow us,
bad.
stay up to date with
Yeah.
us. Who knows? Maybe we'll have another series in the future.
Yeah.
Yes,
I'm
God.
bad with goodbye sometimes.
I know.
Especially
I
when it's
know.
a
Maybe we
good
can bring it to a
space.
live where the people will be able to jump in with us. But
Yeah.
wherever you are either listening to this or you're viewing it on either one of our platforms, just know that there are safe spaces out there for you.
Yeah,
And
yeah.
we here.
We here. Stay
Coaches healing
tuned.
is here.
Yeah,
We've
stay
been through
tuned.
it.
Oh, watch all of us. We got you. We
We
got
got
you.
you.
Yeah. Huh. Love on yourself. Love on each other. Take care.
Peace.